If you want to put up the first slide there, Rachel, thanks. We need to talk. We need to talk. Have you ever been in a relationship where someone has said that to you? I'm sure all of us have, right? Or they may have said something like, I really need to talk to you about something. And there's sort of that feeling that you get, right? You know that what's going to follow isn't easy. But at the same time, if you've done this often enough, you know that it's worth it. You know that talking through things can be a healthy and a helpful process. It's a good thing. Talking can lead to more joy and more trust and also better outcomes in relationships. I mean, think about the opposite. Pretending like everything's okay. Has that ever helped anyone here? Ever? I don't think so. I think that pretending like everything is okay leads to things like gossip and frustration and anxiety and disillusionment and even things like escapism. So we need to talk to one another. We need to talk freely to one another. How's that for a sermon intro this morning? Did it wake you up? With that in mind, I just want to say that we're starting a series called We Need to Talk this morning. And we've got an AGM soon on the 12th of September. It's just around the corner. There's only four sermons to go. I measure my life in sermons, you know, as a pastor. Four sermons to go. And I'm only, including this one, I'm only preaching three of them. Next week, Corin Siggins is coming to preach. But in these four sermons, and I think Corin, what she's going to preach is going to align with all this, is in the lead up to the AGM, I want us to be asking the question or talking about the why of Margaret River Baptist Church. The why, W-H-Y of Margaret River Baptist Church. I think often we talk a lot about the what. What should we be doing? What should we do? This program and that program, this activity and that activity. But we hardly ever, I don't know, I've been here for 2.5 years and I don't think we've spoken a lot about why, the why of MRBC. And I think because we don't often talk about the why, we talk about the what often happens is we're like rats in a maze, you know, and we'll end up running around, chasing our tails, getting exhausted, burning out, and it's just not the best place to be. We get frustrated, and we don't even know why. Sometimes we don't even know why we're doing what we're doing. We're just doing it because that's what we do. And we need to stop and pause and actually be asking that question, why? A couple of weeks ago, we had the planning for the future meeting when I was sick. Now you understand why I say I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, because that was quite a long time ago, and I missed that Sunday, and I missed last Sunday because I was sick, so I've been pretty sick recently, but that's beside the point. The point is, the planning for the future meeting was a really good start of a conversation, I think, where we start talking to one another about what's going on. But I think that it's urgent that we continue that conversation, and we need to create spaces where that conversation can happen. I feel the urgent need to make space in our church for us to just talk, for the conversation to expand, and for us to just be loving and frank about the why of MRBC. We really need to learn why we are before we can talk about what to do or what we are doing. There's that silly old saying, I'm sure you've heard of it, we are human beings, not human doings, right? It's a silly saying because obviously we do a lot of stuff, but the point is that first and foremost we need to think about being, how to be, what to be, why we are. But, you know, to have a conversation like that, for it to actually work, we need to stop keeping the peace. Now, that might sound funny, but in reality, Christ never called us to be peacekeepers. Christ called us to be peacemakers. Peace Peacekeeping and peacemaking are two very different things. Peacekeepers try to keep everybody happy by avoiding conflict, right? I'm really good at that. I'm a really good peacekeeper. You know, just try and avoid conflict to make sure everybody's happy. But that's not what we're called to. Peacemakers actually embrace conflict. They step into the space of conflict. They let people talk. They let people be vulnerable. They let people share. And they work through it. And that's what brings real joy in a community. What sucks all the joy is when we don't talk and we're not honest and open and we don't allow that space. So I really feel like there's a tension in our church. I feel it often, maybe because I'm the pastor, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. But I don't think that the way to resolve tension is to just ignore it. I think we've got to just, you know, be open and talk to one another. We've got to face it head on and in love work through things together to the joy, to get to the joy. Okay. So I think that to do that, we need to invite disagreement in love. Not bad disagreement, good disagreement, healthy disagreement, where we can just talk to one another, where we're not being sarcastic or we're not being passive-aggressive or we're not being defensive and we're not being, you know, getting our backs up and getting all offended and I can't believe this and that. But we just simply need to be able to live in the space of asking hard questions. It's okay to ask questions. We don't have to run away from questions. And we can have deep conversations about hard questions, and that's good. And what this requires of us is an openness. I don't know if you remember when Ryan Quick came and preached. Remember that sermon? It was all about reconciliation. It's the same thing, okay? But I'm sort of going, I don't know if we heard it. So let's think about it again. We need to be open, an openness to exploring questions about why. And the biggest question I think that we need to ask is, why do we do church the way that we're doing it? It's a big, important question that we need to be asking. And if we're honest, I think some of the answers would be like, because that's the way we've always done it. Or because it's the way that I prefer to do it. Or because it's the only right way, or because I enjoy it, or because that's the way it was done in the church in which I got saved, and so therefore it's right. Like all of those answers, I think are really bad answers to the question of why do we do church the way we're doing it. They're not good answers. You know, one of the questions I hear after church a lot, and I've asked it, people ask me, so there's no finger pointing here, but it's, did you enjoy the service? Really? Is that what church is for? For you and me to enjoy ourselves? It's not bad to enjoy ourselves, but is that the prime essence of meeting together on a Sunday morning? I had a good time. Another question I get asked a lot is, what did you think of church today? Is that the right question? I mean, who cares what you thought of church today, right? Does it matter what you thought of church? Does it matter how it made you feel? Those things, I'm not saying are unimportant, but there might be more at stake. There might be more important things to talk about than did I enjoy it and what did I think? What answers should we be giving to all of these tough questions? Well, I'd like to begin to explore that this morning by looking at two things, our mission statement and our core values. You know, we have a mission statement as a church and we have core values, but we don't talk about them a lot. And I think it would help us because if we know what our mission statement is and what our core values are, then when we ask the question, why do we do church the way we're doing it? We can answer, because it serves our mission and it aligns with our core values. That's why. That's a very different answer, right, to, well, I just enjoy it, or I prefer it, or I think it's right. No, it aligns with our mission and our core values. Or other questions like, you know, did you enjoy church, or what did you think of church? Well, we can answer, it doesn't matter if I enjoyed it or what I thought of it. What matters is that today's service served the mission of the church, and today's service aligned with the core values of the church. because that's what I buy into. That's what we're doing together, and that's how we're doing it together, and that's what's important. So it makes a massive difference, I think, if we come from that perspective rather than from the perspective of it made me feel good, or, you know, I thought it was okay. It's not about our feelings and our thoughts as much as it is about what is God doing in this space, and are we joining God in what he's doing in this space, or are we trying to get God to join us in what we're trying to do in this space? Get the difference between that, right? We want to be joining God in what God wants to do in this space. So I've prepared this this PowerPoint, and again, I'm going to ask you to do some of the reading. I'm feeling very weak and tired, okay? And we're all in this together. So when I talk about the church, I'm talking about us. It's not us and them, or you and me, or they. It's us, okay? So here's our mission statement. Know God, share Christ, care for people. That's what we're on about as a church. I don't know when this mission statement was written or who wrote it, but that's what we've inherited. And that's not a bad mission statement, right? Did you know we had a mission statement? Some of you did. Others of you are just staring blankly at me like I'm trying to catch you out. I'm not trying to catch you out. Know God, share Christ, care for people. We're just going to go through that quickly. So the next slide is, and I don't know who wrote this either, but it was on our old website. So, first things first, love. Before we get to know God, share Christ, care for people, we've got to talk about this, love. Who wants to read this? Bring you the mic.
First things first, love. We are first of all a loving community. We love because Jesus Christ first loved us. Jesus Christ gave his life to offer us a relationship that transforms life now and for eternity. Like our town, our church community contains people of a diverse range of ages, occupations, and backgrounds. Our church family is brought together as a loving community because we share the love and forgiveness God freely gives us in Jesus.
Thanks, Carla. So love, that's the ground of it all. God is love, and we are called to love God and love one another. Okay, next slide is know God. This is number one for us. Can someone read John 17, verse 3 for us? Anyone got a Bible, maybe? Matt, are you going to do it? Emily, you're going to read John 17, verse 3? Can I give you the mic?
Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. There is nothing bigger or better than knowing the God who made you and who loves you. Knowing God is at the root of everything that we do. We are convinced it is possible to know God because he has revealed himself in the man, Jesus Christ, and through his word, the Bible. We seek to know God more and more through His Son, His Word, Christ's people, and His Spirit.
Thanks, Emily. So I don't know if you caught that verse, but what is eternal life? To know God. That's eternal life right there. Jesus was speaking in John 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. And he was talking to the Father. So, you know, when we read verses like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, that's eternal life, to be in a relationship with God, to have union with God, to be connected to God, and to grow in that knowledge. So it's not just knowledge like I know about God, I know some facts. you know, he created the world, he came in Jesus. It's a relational knowledge, like I'm walking in a relationship with God. So that's number one. What are we on about as a church? To know God. And so if that's like, we're going to get to the others, but, you know, we ask the question, well, today, was it a good service? Well, did it tick that box? Because that's a big, important box. Let's go on to the next one, to share Christ. Who wants to read Matthew 18, 18 to 20? Thanks.
Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose... But when that same servant went out, he found one of his...
We may... 18 or 28? 18, okay, right.
And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Through Christ, we are connected to God and have life in him, like a branch is connected into a grapevine. We believe Christ loved us so much, he willingly died to save us. We believe that Jesus rose again from the dead, demonstrating real power that can change our lives forever if we are willing to believe in him. We want to share Christ with those who do not yet know him. In the complexities of everyday life, we also want to share Jesus with each other so we do not lose sight of all Christ has done.
Thanks, Rupert. Sorry about the typo. So that's number two out of three, share Christ. And it's not just about, you know, do you know the four spiritual laws, as it were, but it's about sharing the life of Christ, the love of Christ, the knowledge of Christ. It's about living a Christ life in every space that we find ourselves in. And you know the saying, you know, we don't only share Christ in word, but also in deed. And our deeds need to back up our words. So if we're talking about Christ, we need to live Christ and be Christ to those around us. So, really important. Next one, care for people. I hope this isn't a typo, but John 15, 8 to 17. You're going to help him? Okay.
This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be disciples.
My disciples.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love if you obey my commands.
You will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Jesus cared for people so much that he sacrificed his life for us. As followers of Jesus, we want to grow in caring for people, just as vines grow fruit. We will express this in the way we act toward each other, in the activities we do together, and the way we serve the wider community, as well as in the way we live throughout the week. As we seek to grow in knowing God, sharing Christ, and caring for people, we are very aware that while God is already working to transform us, we still have a long way to go. We remain confident in our standing with God, not because of our own achievements, but because Jesus gave his life to win forgiveness and new life for us. We also look forward to when Jesus returns and brings in a new creation where everything will be set right and we will know God fully.
Thanks, Timothy. Thanks, Jen. Okay, so that's number three, care for people. So what are we on about at Margaret River Baptist Church? To know God, share Christ, and care for people. And if we can really understand what that means and grow in our application of what that means, then we'll have a much better idea of what we should be doing together. Like, you know, does this activity, does this program, does it help us achieve the mission that we're on? Does it help us go in the direction that these three things are calling us to go in? So I really want you to think about these three things this week. I'll send this PowerPoint out on email this afternoon. But really be thinking about knowing God, sharing Christ, caring for people. Now, what I want to do, and this isn't going to take long, but I just want us to flick through the 10 core values, because this is kind of like the big picture, but the core values are about how are we going to go about doing it in terms of our attitudes, in terms of just in general, our way of being in the world. Okay, so core value number one. Does someone want to read that? Okay, thanks, Miriam. Core value number two. Chris, number three. Marie, four. Lorena, number five. Amy, six. It's Leanne, hopefully this morning is understandable. Number seven. Mark, eight. Nine. Before we go on to the last one, I've underlined that word adventurously because whenever I've read through the core values, that word has always jumped out at me. It's not a word that I expect to find in a list of you know, teachings or core values or mission statements, adventurously. And I think maybe that word is perhaps, I don't know, just being highlighted by the Spirit of God in our midst, you know, adventurously. Are we being adventurous in our faith in Margaret River, in our lives, and in our community? So think about that one. Last one, number 10. Thank you, Gazelle. So thanks for reading, everyone. And now what? Where to from here? What I'm trying to say, I think, and I almost titled this series Back to Basics, because that's kind of what it's about, right? We're talking about the why. Why are we here? Why are we sitting here on a Sunday morning together in God's presence with one another? Why do we do what we do? And I think if we get to grips with that, we'll be able to steer the ship in the right direction. And what I want to do in the next couple of sermons, except for next week when Corin comes, is just pick up on some of the core values. We can't do them all, you know, in 3 weeks, but we can maybe do three of them. Three that we might benefit from focusing on at this point in time in our church's history. How does that sound? Does it sound good? You excited? Okay. You brave? You're going to be courageous? You're going to step out? That's it. Adventurous. Okay. We're going to step into a new space and we're going to grow together. And God's going to work and He's going to use us and things are going to happen. Okay. And I say that with faith. So, we're going to sing one last song now.